Good afternoon, everybody. Chodesh tov, ishtabach shemo. V'chodesh asher nehepach lehem yagon nesimcha u'me'ebel yom tov la'asot otam yemei mishteh v'simcha. So, first of all, there's a very interesting Chatam Sofer in Tshuvot who asks, everybody knows the famous Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit that says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Shilat, כשם שמי שנכנס אב ממעטין בשמחה, כך מי שנכנס אדר מרבין בשמחה. The Gemara, usually we don't sing it like that, but it's really a כשם. The Gemara links them together. Just as we decrease joy when Av begins, we increase joy as Adar begins. That's the Ma'amar Gemara. Amar Rav Papa says the Gemara, therefore, Haiman demishta'e dina bahade akum, if a Jew has a court case with a non-Jew, then he should try lishtamit mineh. He should try to avoid it during Chodesh Av, and he should try to hold it during Chodesh Adar. Now, obviously, that's because the Mazal of Am Yisrael is excellent during Chodesh Adar and really bad during Chodesh Av. So, why does the Gemara say specifically a judgment with a goy as opposed to a judgment with a fellow Jew?
So you're equal?
Cancel out.
Is it because of that? Is it because the Mazalot cancel out? What if you do?
Is it in Mazal Yisrael?
But huh?
Then we're saying there is.
And by the way, we learn from last week's parashat Mishpatim, about the chiyuv of dinei Torah. Miva'al devarim migash elehem. V'hineh Aaron v'chur imachem, miva'al devarim migash elehem. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu told Am Yisrael, before he went up to Har Sinai, he says, listen, I'm not going to be here. Anybody who has any dinei Torah, you go to Aaron and Chur. So we see that dinei Torah are an integral part of Am Yisrael. Dinei Torah prevent monetary disputes from escalating into something bigger. That's the beauty of the system of monetary law in the Torah. So, the reason is because Dine Torah have absolutely nothing to do with Mazal. Din Torah has to do with Din Torah. Whoever the Torah says is correct, that's who's going to win. Whereas when a Jew has a dispute, a financial dispute with a non-Jew, then that has to do with Mazal, because that doesn't have to do with Dine Torah, that has to do with how the judge is going to rule on that case. So over there, when it has to do with Mazal, says Rav Papa, okay, try to have it during Adar and try to avoid it during Av. Shamati. So, interestingly enough, Maran HaShulchan Aruch, if you look, right in the beginning of Hilchot Tisha B'Av, Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, he says, Mishenichnas Av Ma'atin B'Simcha, and therefore, try to avoid having a Mishpat with a Goy during Av. If you look in Hilchot Purim, Maran, radio silence. In. Maran doesn't say Mishnechnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. He doesn't say that if you have a din with a goy, have it during Adar. He says it during Av, but not during Adar. Question number one.
Rama says you should.
Maran.
No, before this we said, you only mentioned the Gemara. That's
yeah, the Gemara.
Oh.
Yeah. And now when it comes to Halakha, Maran quotes it as Halakha in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, by Tisha B'Av, by Chodesh Av, whereas by Purim, Maran doesn't mention anything. Azma. That's number one. Number two, says the Chasam Sefer, if you look anywhere in the Rambam, zero mention of this halacha. Not Mishnichnas Adar. Now, again, Mishnichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha and Mishnichnas Av Ma'atin, that's not really halacha because that's you know, no, not hype, but it's internal. It's more, you know, it's not something that you really, there's not much to do about it. It's an internal feeling. But the halakha of trying to avoid or trying to have the mishpat with the goy, that's a halakha, and the Rambam doesn't say it anywhere. Not by Av, not by Adar. Klum. Azma. Explains a Gaon Chatam Sofer. It's very possible that the Rambam, that although Rav Papa in the Gemara says this thing about the mishpat, that's only because he holds Yesh Mazal Yisrael. But we hold like the Gemara at the end of Masichet Shabbat that says that in Mazal Yisrael, and therefore the Rambam held like that against Rav Papa, and that's why he didn't bring him Lalacha, because he doesn't paskin like him. So says the Chatam Sofer.
So, am I reading that one more time? Chatam Sofer.
Say it over. Tagid, ma amarnu. Oh, al tidag, ani itcha. Jump in, come on, don't worry. I'm with you. Tagid. What was his answer? Why did the Rambam avoid the whole thing?
The answer is that Rav Papa, when he was saying the statement,
He held
that there is Mazal in Israel.
Okay.
And the Gemara ends up concluding there's another opinion that says in Mazal Israel.
And that's how he paskin. And therefore he left it. He didn't paskin like it. That's why he didn't bring it. That's a great answer. It wouldn't answer Maran. Why wouldn't it answer Maran? Because then he would be soter himself. Because Maran brings it with regards to Tisha B'Av, but he doesn't bring it with regards to Adar. So that can't be, it could be what the Rambam holds, possibly, but it can't be what Maran holds. That's number one. Number two, is why do you have to go? Why do we have to say that Rav Papa was Amura Batra'am? You know, when it comes to Amuraim, by Tanaim it doesn't work like that. Klalei Ashas, the halacha is when there's a machloket Tanaim between Rebbe and Talmid, who are you paskin like?
Rebbe.
Yeah, not Rebbe necessarily the Tana, but the Rebbe versus the Talmid. When it comes to Amuraim, it doesn't work like that anymore. You know that? By Amuraim, hilcheta kebatra'a, which means the halacha is always like the later Amora. What's the logic behind that? The Rambam explains in Pirusha Mishnayot, the later the Amora, the more shitot, the more opinions he heard, and he was exposed to all the different opinions, and therefore he was machriya that way. Therefore, Abaye v'Rava, they are achronei ha'amuraim. They were later Amoraim. Therefore, halacha is like them. Rav Papa was talmid of Abaye v'Rava. So halacha is like him. The later the Amora, the more the halacha is decided like him. It's a very interesting phenomenon as opposed to Tanaim. So, at the end of the day, why would we say that Rav Papa is Shaloki Ilchata? That's not fair. Many poskim actually answer, as does, by the way, the Chatam Sofer's grandson, the Hitorerut Teshuvah. He writes that no, really, Rav Papa also holds in Mazal Yisrael. Now he says, you know why Maran brought it in Hilchot Tisha B'Av and not in Hilchot Purim? Because there's another halacha. By Tisha B'Av he says Meforash, Mishinichnas Av Ma'atin B'Simcha, and then therefore avoid the thing. In Hilchot Purim, Maran starts off saying like this. Here we go. In Siman Tafresh Pe Chet, Maran says as follows.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Shnia. Oh, Maran says Meforash. Siman Tafresh Pechet Saif Zayin. Hamfaresh Bayam Vayotze B'Sheara Ve'eno Motze Megillah Leolech Imo. Yeah. Yikra'enna B'Yud Gimel O B'Yud Bet O B'Achad Asar Belo Bracha. We know, if you look, the very first Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, Megillah Nikret, Biyud Aleph, Biyud Bet, Biyud Gimel, Biyud Dalet, Betetvav, Lo Pachot, Velo Yoter. And the Gemara says, well, what does that mean? We're reading the Megillah all those days? No, the Gemara says that there's something called Yom Akdima. Anybody learn Masechet Megillah here? What's Yom Akdima? Remember that?
The day, was that?
The day the villagers used to travel into the big city for their business, and therefore the Chachamim said, now that can only happen on 11, 12, or 13, which is the Monday or Thursday before Yud Dalet. The Chachamim said, okay, if 11 or 12 falls out on a Monday or Thursday before Yud Dalet, let them read it then. Now, therefore, we see that these, where does the Gemara end up learning that there are multiple days that are ra'ui lemikra Megillah? Remember Maskanat Gemara? The fact that the Megillah says Bizmanehem. What does that mean? Megillah Nikret Bizmanim Harbe. Megillah can be read in many days. Nowadays we don't have Yom HaKnisa anymore because that's not the case. The only two viable days for Mikra Megillah nowadays is Yud Dalet if you're Prazim, which means regular cities, and Tetvav for Mukafim. That's it. You're one or the other. No more Yud Alef, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel. So says Maran, let's say you're going on a trip. You're going on a cruise, you're, you know, not just a luxury cruise. I'm saying like you're going on a ship or you're going in a caravan and you can't take a Megillah with you and you don't know what's going to be. Says Maran, read the Megillah from Yud Alef, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, even though it's not Purim yet, but it's better than nothing. Read it without a bracha. But what happens if you're leaving earlier? He says, V'im e efshar le'amtin ad yamim halalu, yesh omrim shekore afilu mitchilat ha'chodesh. The halacha is, if you can't wait around at least until Yud Aleph Be'adar, and you got to go on this trip now, and you don't know what's going to be with Megillah, says Maran, take a kosher Megillah, already from Tchilat ha'chodesh, already from Rosh Chodesh Adar, take a Megillah, it's a Yerushalmi that says that, read it without a bracha, and then you'd be Yotzei Dechovah. Obviously, if you can't get a Megillah on Purim, you did what you could. Therefore what? What do you see from this Maran? Purim really begins when? Rosh Chodesh Adar. There's an element of Purim from Rosh Chodesh Adar in that you can be Yotze Mikra Megillah from Rosh Chodesh if you have mamash no other choice in the Chata Dachak. Therefore, Maran didn't need to tell you Mishinichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, and therefore go have your Mishpat. He didn't have to repeat it. He says Mishinichnas Adar, there's already Purim in the air. That's why you can read Megillah if you're going on a trip, Chata Dachak, whatever. Therefore, he didn't need to say it again. How this would explain the Rambam, I don't know. It wouldn't, because the Rambam omits it from both places. So okay, maybe the Chatam Sofer's logic would apply to the Rambam, but according to Maran, there's a very easy fix for that. So that's with regards to that. Now, I want to share with you, we've spoken about this when we did a little series on Dikduk. As we get closer, any Baale Kurim from Megillat Esther in the house? Okay. Anyway, but it's good. Practice. Do it. Maish. I'm a big fan. Big fan. The Kroba Torah, to read the Megillah is mitzuyan. Excellent. Yeah, just jump in there. Yeah, anyway. Bekitzur, so the laws of Kriyat Megillah are very vast. There's a lot of things that we can talk about. Bezat Hashem, we will. But today I want to focus on the differences between Mikra Megillah and Kriyat Sefer Torah. Right off the bat, what is more chamur? Kriyat Torah or Kriyat Megillah?
Doraita. No, sorry. It's words of Torah, which is words of...
Okay, but we also know that Divrei Kabbalah and Divrei Torah, right? There's also the Megillat Esther is Divrei Kabbalah. It's even stronger than Nevi. So, if, yeah.
We have a thing with two voices versus one voice.
That is true. And really, if it's something that comes once a year, the Gemara says, Tre kale mishtamma'e mishum de chavive, which means when one of the voices is more chaviv, you are Yotze. That's the Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah. But I'm going to prove to you in a moment that Kriyat Torah, even though it's fully Drabbanan, it's not Divrei Kabbalah, is more chamur than Kriyat Mikra Megillah. Why?
In terms of the Shomei or the Bokor?
In terms of the Halachot. I'll show you. Now, not necessarily for Ashkenazim, but at least for Sfaradim. Maran HaShulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Lamedvav writes, we've spoken about this, in the Halachot of Ta'ut, the Kriyat Sefer Torah, if a person makes a mistake in the Kriya, it's Kuf Lamedvav, also Kuf Membet. What's the Halacha if a person makes a mistake in Kriyat HaTorah? Obviously, you have to correct him. Yeah? Now, depends what the correction is. Now, what the mistake is, sorry. According to the Rama, according to Minhag Ashkenazim, if it's a mistake that changes the meaning of the word, do you have to correct the Ba'al Koreh? Which means stop him in the middle of Kriya and make him go back. For instance, you change the tense, or you change the Nikud to a new word that changed the meaning, you got to correct him for that. Says the Rama, however, if it's a change in the word that does not change, if it's a mistake in the word that doesn't change the meaning, Vayomer, Vayomar, Vatomer, Vatomar, or for Ashkenazim, you know, Ashkenazim very strongly differentiate between Mitzrayim and Mitzroyim. What's the difference? Whether it's a kamatz or a patach, right? When would Mitzrayim with a patach have a kamatz? Patach will always turn into a kamatz in the middle of the word, like a word like Mitzrayim, when it's by a atnach or a sof pasuk. Yeah? So now, if an Ashkenazim are actually, also they differentiate very much between patach and kamatz. They differentiate a lot between tzere and segol, right? They also, especially by parashat zachor, they very much be zecher, they say it twice. Sfaradim were much more chilled. No, pa'am echad v'zeo shano. That's it. But according to the Rama, at least, if you make a mistake in the punctuation of the word that doesn't change the meaning, you don't have to go back. You don't have to repeat. You don't have to take back the shliach tzibur. L'da'at manan ha-shulchan aruch, incorrect. Da'at manan is, even if you make a mistake that doesn't change the meaning of the word, you have to be machzir, not only go'ayin, not only tell him off, but you have to actually correct him. If the guy said vayomir instead of vayomar, or vice versa, that's just an example, you would still have to take him back, even though there is no difference whatsoever in the meaning. Now, with... Huh?
He says...
No, that's not a mistake. That's not... Far'o is not really considered a mistake. Again, it's not grammatically correct, but at the end of the day, that's not considered a mistake that you would go back for. Now,
should you correct someone on the truck?
No, that everybody agrees. Even Maran holds that you're not machzir on Ta'ami HaMikra.
A lot of people do it. It's a mistake. They shouldn't
take him back. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing. Maran writes, with regards to Kriyat HaMegillah, that it's not exactly the same thing. According to, it's actually Gemara. But the way Maran brings down is, En medakdakin b'mikra Megillah. The halacha is that you don't have to be so precise, although precision is beautiful, it's wonderful, but you don't have to be. Halachically, it's not as me'akev as it is by Kriyat HaTorah. And even if he said, right, there are certain places in the Megillah that the word Yehudim is spelled as Yehudiyim. Now, what's the difference grammatically between Yehudim and Yehudiyim?
Extra yud.
Yeah, extra yud, but I'm saying, is there any, in definition, means exactly the same thing, just means the plural, just mean Jews. Therefore, the halacha is you would not need to be machzir, even though, by the way, the word Yehudiyim is never pronounced in Mikra Megillah. It's only spelled that way, it's a kri uchtiv. The word is always spelled Yehudim, but let's say a person didn't know that, and he made a mistake, and he pronounced it Yehudiyim, Yatzai Dechova, you're fine. There are some kri uchtivs in the Megillah. You know what kri uchtiv is, right? When it's written one way and pronounced another. Over there, if you didn't know the proper pronunciation, it is me'akev. For instance, the pasuk says, "Vayhi ke'omram elav yom vayom velo shama aleihem." Right when they were telling Mordechai, "Yeah, bow down." So over there in the Megillah, it's spelled with a bet, but pronounced with a kaf. If a person just said instead of that, what happens if a person messes up on kri uchtiv? Are you yotze?
Megillah, yes.
Huh? Bring me a chelek bet for a second, Mishnah Berurah. Megillah, right there. Bit, yeah. There we go. Okay, go ahead. By Kriyat HaTorah, let's say a person's not, you know, and there's a lot of them in the Torah, Kri Uchtiv, written one way, pronounced another. What happens if you just ignore that? And you're very text-based, and you want to go with just what's written. Yeah, that sounds like a little bit, Karaim, right? Like the, watch what Maran says, very interesting halacha. It says like this. The Shulchan Aruch actually tells a story for a halacha. How do you like that? Maaseh Shaya. He writes like this. Kuf Mem Bet. Kuf Lamed Vav. Is it? Hold on. No. Kuf Mem Bet. Hold on. Give me one sec. Kuf Mem Gimel. Give me one sec. There's a very interesting halacha because it was a story that he brought. Find it in a second. I wanted to read it from inside because it's really gishmak. No problem.
You said you don't have to.
Tish'an.
Yeah, you said you don't have to be precise in the reading of the Megillah. What was the example? Avidim?
Yehudim.
Yehudim.
Instead of Yehudim.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Kuf Mem Aleph Saif Chet. Kol Teva Shei Kri Uchtiv. Any word in the Torah that's written one way and pronounced another. Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai Shetei Nichtevet. Kemo Shei BaTorah VeNikret BeAinyan Acher. It's all Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, how it's written and how it's pronounced. UMa'aseh BeEchad SheKara Kemo Shei Ktuva BiFnei Gedolei Ador. There was a Baal Kore in front of three of the Gedolei Ador in Spain at the time. HaRabbanim HaRav Rabbi Yitzchak Abohav. והרב רבי אברהם ולנצי, והרב רבי שמואל ולנצי, בנו, זכרונם לברכה, there were three גדולי הדור at that minyan, and the Baal Kore was stuck on, I guess he did it on purpose, he read it the way it was written as opposed to how it was supposed to be pronounced, ויתרו בו שיקרא כפי המסורה. They warned him, read it according to the way it's supposed to be, according to the tradition. ולא רצה, ונידוהו והורידוהו מהטבע. He did it again, they put him in חרם, and they kicked him off the טבע. So קריאוך טבע is a pretty, pretty serious thing. No jokes. You know, got put in חרם for it. Anyway, בקיצור, by מגילת אסתר, there's also קריאוך טבע. So that obviously would be משנה. באומרם כאומרם is two different things. Now, but if it's יהודים, יהודים, it's okay. There's one exception, says Maran, that only, there's no difference between Yehudim and Yehudim. But if you change a word, if you change the meaning of the word, the halacha is that you're not Yotzei Dechova. For instance, the Megillah says, V'haman nofel al amita asher ester aleha. It says that Haman, what does the word nofel mean, grammatically in Lashon HaKodesh?
Falling.
Nofel means hove, b'lishon hove, presently falling. Everybody knows, Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Midrash, so what was going on? He tried to get up, and the Malach kept pushing him down onto Esther on the bed. He tried to get up, boom. That's why it says Nofel. Currently falling because he was trying to get up. Therefore, if a person read it instead, now again, there's no Vav over there. So if you look in the Megillah, how's it spelled? Nun Fe Lamin. You might mistakenly pronounce that as Nafal. Incorrect. Over there, he has to be Chozer. Yeah? Umordechai. Instead of, it's also spelled, it says Mordechai Yoshev B'Sha'ar HaMelech. Mordechai was presently sitting. The person said Mordechai Yashav B'Sha'ar HaMelech, which means he changes the mashmaut. Lo Yatzei Dechova.
So now, if you're not, if you don't go back, then no one was Yotzei?
Correct.
Even if no one's going to catch.
Well, no one was Yotzei if
no one catches it, then everyone, no one was Yotzei.
Well, listen, the guy himself could be reading along, and if he's reading along and he read it the right way,
with his lips or with his eyes?
Let me give you an interesting shaila that I once got in Bedin. Very interesting shayla. Ready? There's several psukim in the Megillah that the whole tzibur reads together. They're called the Arba Psukei Geula. One of them is La Yehudim Hayeta Ora. I'm sorry. The one before. Umordechai Yatzam Lifnei Melech Bilvush Malchut Techelet Bachur Va'Ateret Zav Gedola V'Tachrich Butz V'Argaman V'Ha'ir Shushan. Sahala v'samecha, which means what? Sahala v'samecha, which means it was exuberant and joyful. It means two lishanot of joy. Sahala means that the city was acting in joy. The Baal Koreh read it v'ayir shushan sahola with kamatz, kamatz chatuf, sahola, as if there was a kamatz there. So the question was, now nobody realized until the end, what's the halacha? Was he yotze? Was the tzibur yotze? That's number one. Number two is, if the tzibur is not yotze, he was a hired Baal Koreh specifically for Purim. Is he allowed to accept payment for Kriyat HaMegillah? The guy messed up. Nobody fixed him. You know, you have that. Sometimes people think it's annoying to be corrected when you're reading, but at least it shows that tzibur is alive. You know what I'm saying? It shows that somebody's listening. When you make a mistake and nobody corrects you, it might be relieving, but it also shows that, you know, nobody's, you know, they're not there. So, first of all, the halacha was that, the halacha is, what's the difference grammatically between tzahala and tzahola? I told you, tzahala means that the city acted, it's a verb, they acted in joy. Tzahola means, folly, meaning just folly as a noun. Which, now, what does that mean? And the city of Shushan, joy. It's as if saying that. That doesn't make any sense. You can't say Ir Shushan has to be followed by a verb, not by a noun. Now you took the word from being in verb form to being in noun form. It was not Yotze. It's a totally different word. It's Mishane Mashmaot Mamash. Lucky for the Tzibur though. Lucky for the Tzibur that this is one of the psukim that they read out loud. And therefore what? We can assume that the Tzibur read it correctly because they're reading from Mechumash with the Nekudot. And therefore what? Although the Shliach Tzibur wasn't Yotze because he read it the wrong way, the Tzibur could still be Yotze. Okay, what about collecting payment? Choshen Mishpat.
They should have paid him. Huh? They should have corrected him. Everyone makes mistakes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, so here's the question. How do you look at it? Do you look at it that he was Motzi the Tzibur, just minus that one pasuk? Or do we look at it that, no, he wasn't Motzi the Tzibur at all. The Tzibur was Motzi themselves. Luckily for them, this is one of the pasukim that are read out loud. Let me ask you a question. Let's say the guy prepared and he really you know, he really prepared and he's great and whatever, and then he gets sick, whatever, and he doesn't show up on Purim night or Purim day or whatever it is. He says, I really prepared, whatever. I want to get paid. What's the halacha? Chayav patur.
Patur.
Do they have to pay or not? Why? I prepared. Preparation is part of the job, but the job is what? Execution. You got to do it. Now let me ask you, what's the difference if he didn't show up, or if he showed up and read the wrong way in a way that's not going to be motzi the tzibur? Yeah?
He's there to be motzi the tzibur, but those psukim, he's not there to be motzi them, because they're doing it wrong. Once we say that they're motzi themselves, that psukim is not higher for those psukim.
That's a good svar. That's a very good svar. Huh? In that, at the end of the day, those four psukim, they don't need him to be motzi them, since they're reading, and we're going to speak about Be'ezat Hashem more of Hilchot Megillah, that you can read a minority, which means a small part of the Megillah by yourself, even from Shelo Mitoch HaKtav, even from a printed Megillah, or even by heart, whatever it is. So they don't need him to be motzi them for those psukim. So whatever they needed him to be motzi, he was motzi. So technically, now let me ask you a question. If it was any other pasuk, would he need to get paid? If it was any other pasuk that they didn't read out loud, and he messed up on the word, and now everybody dispersed, and nobody was Yotzei the Chovah because he messed up on the word. Pay him or not?
No.
Yeah, what do you want to say? Why pay him?
Because then...
No goodwill gestures, no peace treaties, no nothing. I want to know Dean.
Every Balkor will be scared to be a Balkor.
Ah, oh, come on.
No, because yeah. They might mess up and not get paid.
Very Jewish answer.
Yeah, it doesn't really work like that. Or Baalei Korim will be super careful to prepare very well, so when they get up there, they don't mess up. No, what do you say? Don't pay. Nigmar. It's a sugiyah in Baba Kama. Without getting too much into all of the fine details, there's a sugiyah, tabach or uman shekilkel. If you hire an uman, if you hire an expert to do a job, and he messes up, you hire a professional, and he messes up, so the question is if they hired him as a professional or they hired him as an amateur. If they hired him as a professional, he forfeits anything. If they hired him as, meaning knowing that he's an amateur, which means that, not really professional, they just needed some guy to read for them, and he was mekalkel, uman shekilkel, but he wasn't hired as an uman, he's still going to be patur, and therefore, technically they would still have to pay him. It does depend on other variables also. But anyway, moral of the story is what? If you're reading...
Don't mess up.
Well, don't mess up is not really in our control. That's only Hashem's control. But do the best you can, you know what I'm saying? I've seen Baalei Korim get up there and just think that they can wing it, and then it just like completely falls apart. Don't wing it, you know what I'm saying? Unless you're like really professional, you've been reading for years and years, that's a different story. But if you're not, don't wing it. It's not Kvod HaTzibur. Sit down, prepare, Kmo Ben Adam, and then, you know, then it comes out nice. Mata Shoy. Meaning like round up the tzibur again? What if they're gone? They're gone. It's Purim Day. Everybody's drunk now. Mata Ase. You know what I'm saying? Mata Ase. It's hard. You know, once people leave the shul doors, it's over. You know what I'm saying? It's not... Okay, B'ezat Hashem, we'll continue next time. Hope to see you tonight, Chevre. Have a wonderful afternoon. Kol tov.